It's Tuesday, June 23rd, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. And continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers. Welcome to the podcast. First of all, apologies for missing yesterday's podcast, but I was horizontal for the day. Some sort of stomach flu or something, but feeling better now. Thanks for all your kind words. Want to remind you also that we've made the official announcement for NormalCon 2009. That's right, the Normal National Conference being held at the Grand Hyatt Hotel in San Francisco, California, Thursday, September 24th through Saturday, September 26th. There are early bird specials if you register before July 31st, so get online at norml.org and register today. We got some good news with regard to Normal chapters out there. I've just certified some new chapters. We've got High Sierra Normal in Paradise, California, Slow Normal in San Luis Obispo, California, Columbia Normal at Columbia College in Chicago, Illinois, and Mile High Normal in Denver, Colorado, all coming online this week. So big thanks to them for getting organized. And if you're in those areas, send me an email at stash@normal.org, and I'll put you in touch with them. Also, we still have a lot of requests from people all across the country looking to form Normal chapters. I got a student from the University of South Carolina looking to reform that chapter. Got a bunch of people in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and a whole bunch of contacts in the Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C. area interested in getting involved with Normal. If you're in any of those areas, or you're in an area that doesn't have a Normal chapter, send me an email at stash@normal.org, and I'll help you get organized. And in other Stash news, we want to give a big congratulations to our own Dr. Mitch Erlewine from the University of Albany, who has won the Excellence in Teaching Award for 2009. So congratulations on that. And the results are in from our Stash PodTrack survey. I got over 130 responses, and thanks to those of you who responded. And we found some very interesting things about those of you who are listening to the Daily Audio Stash. You're aged about 25 to 44. That's about half our audience. But our audience is also 9 to 1 males versus females. Come on, ladies, get in the stash here. We need some more of you here. 79% of you have a college education. 61% make more than 50 grand a year. 64% are either employed or are students. 73% of you have no children at home. 60% own your own home. 76% shop online. And in a couple of stats that are really, really nice for my perspective here, 93% of you who answered the survey have listened to 6 or more episodes, 83% of you always listen to each new episode, and 95% of you listen to at least 3/4 of the episode. That's some great statistics for podcasting. Thank you so much for being so dedicated. And on a scale of 1 to 10, listeners rank me, the host, a 9.72, the content a 9.6, and the overall quality a 9.43. Thank you so much, everybody, for making the Stash the most popular destination for marijuana law reformers on the internet. We really appreciate it. Now, coming up on today's Daily Audio Stash, we've got an update on the story of Mayor Chai Calvo in Berwyn Heights, Maryland, whose dogs were murdered during a police raid. He is now suing the police department, and we've got all the details in your Hemp Headlines. The country of Mexico has moved to decriminalize the personal possession of drugs. It's gotten a whole lot less fanfare than it did when they tried to do this 3 years ago. A very popular Korean actress comes out in favor of marijuana legalization in a country that's very, very strict about it. And my personal commentary on a recent episode of the Dr. Drew Pinsky show that I heard on the radio where he classified a young man as a marijuana addict. You can bet I've got a contradictory opinion on that. In our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, we're happy to have Tam back from the American Marijuana Music Awards ceremony in Chicago. She's going to be bringing us all of the winners of the American Marijuana Music Awards. And today you get a double shot, since I was out yesterday. You get Johnny Reeferseed and the High Rollers, and you get Rich Hardesty. So stay tuned for that in the musical break. And for our Government at Work segment today, we're going to be speaking with Carl Bergmanson, a man who ran in the Democratic primary for governor in New Jersey with a platform in favor of marijuana legalization. It's an interesting discussion about how politics works in modern Democratic primaries. The tide is turning, folks. We are making progress on ending adult marijuana prohibition, and it's all thanks to you spreading the growing truth about cannabis. Let's give you some more of it. It's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. Mayor Calvo sues over police murder of his dogs. From the Washington Times. A small-town mayor whose two black Labradors were killed by Prince George's County authorities during a raid at his home last summer complained Monday of a paramilitary culture within the sheriff's department as he announced a lawsuit. Berwyn Heights Mayor Chai Calvo said he filed a lawsuit Monday in Prince George's County Circuit Court against the state of Maryland and officials at the county sheriff's office and police department. Mr. Calvo is seeking unspecified damages and a court order forcing the county to revise how authorities execute warrants, treat animals, and detain individuals. Mr. Calvo said in a statement, quote, "We had hoped that the sheriff's office and county police department could exercise internal leadership to acknowledge wrongdoing and make these changes on their own. But their comments and actions over the last year made clear that they lack the will and credibility to do so," end quote. The lawsuit claims that authorities' failure to knock or announce their entry, the cold-blooded killing of the dogs, and the degrading detention of Mr. Calvo and his mother-in-law were a, quote, "direct and proximate result of a rogue paramilitary culture," end quote, within the sheriff's department. The defendants acted, quote, "intentionally, with an evil and rancorous and improper motive, with ill will and actual malice," end quote, the lawsuit states. Of course the sheriff's office didn't make any changes to their dog-murdering and citizen-degrading policies. What, You want him to take all the fun out of police work? Mayor Calvo is right about the paramilitary culture. It's the psychology all soldiers must employ in war. The enemy, we pot smokers, is dehumanized, and attacks on the enemy must be engaged with enough shock and awe that the enemy is overwhelmed physically and psychologically. A bullet or two in your beloved canine best friend shows you who's in charge and how serious they are, and if you dare oppose them, you'll get a bullet as well. Sitting you handcuffed on the floor in your dead dog's pool of blood further dehumanizes you and asserts Allied forces' dominance over the battlefield. Sadly, this is a story so very common that it usually doesn't even make the news unless, like Mayor Calvo, the victims are white and well-connected, the dogs aren't Rottweilers or pit bulls, and no marijuana is found in the raid. These police canicides are nothing short of domestic terrorism. I live in Oregon. My wife is a medical marijuana patient, and I am her caregiver. I would really like to grow our own marijuana plants. When I mentioned this to my wife, she said, "No, no, no. What if there's some big mistake and the cops raid our house and shoot Roscoe?" We're a continent away from Berwyn Heights. We're protected by a medical marijuana law, and we live in the most pot-friendly county in Oregon. And yet this incident, and others like it, still has terrorized my wife into thinking a pot plant will lead to our dog's murder. Mexico set to decriminalize personal marijuana possession. From the Seattle Times. The Mexican legislature has voted quietly to decriminalize possession of small amounts of marijuana, cocaine, methamphetamine, heroin, and other drugs. Past efforts have proved highly controversial, most recently 3 years ago, but President Felipe Calderon is expected to sign the bill into law this time. His reasoning? It makes sense to distinguish between small-time users and big-time dealers, while retargeting major crime-fighting resources away from the former and toward the latter and their drug lord bosses. Rafael Ruiz Mena, Secretary General of the National Institute of Penal Sciences, said, quote, The important thing is that consumers are not treated as criminals. It is a public health problem, not a penal problem, end quote. The legislation was approved at the height of a swine flu outbreak in Mexico that dominated the public's and the world's attention. Meeting at times behind closed doors, the better to prevent the spread of disease, officials said, the lower and upper houses of Congress passed the bill in late April. It awaits Calderon's signature. 3 years ago, in May 2006, then-President Vicente Fox from Calderon's conservative National Action Party vetoed a similar bill that he initially had supported. Fox backed down only under pressure from Washington, D.C., where the Bush administration complained that decriminalization for even small amounts could increase drug use. What many are missing in this story is that Mexico has already had laws that effectively decriminalize the personal possession of small amounts of drugs. The catch was that someone had to be considered an addict, and the amount had to be a personal amount, but nothing ever defined addict or personal amount in the law. This change will standardize those amounts and allow Mexican judges the ability to avoid sentencing casual users, which they've done by their own judicial discretion for decades. The amounts considered personal under this law will be 5 grams or less of marijuana, a bit more than an eighth of an ounce. Korean actress Kim Boo-seon calls for marijuana legalization. From the Korea Times. Actress Kim Boo-seon's call on national TV for marijuana use to be legalized are causing a public uproar. In a pre-recorded interview on NBC's live morning show on Friday, the 46-year-old, who has advocated the legalization of the drug, said, quote, "Marijuana is not a narcotic. It is technically an oriental herbal medicine which Koreans have used for 5,000 years, end quote. Kim, who has been arrested for marijuana use several times, launched a campaign for the drug's legalization in 2004 after being sentenced to a suspended jail term. She then filed a petition with the Constitutional Court for review of the constitutionality of the country's marijuana-related laws. The actress also claimed that marijuana use can be beneficial to people with certain medical conditions. She said, quote, If smoking it doesn't do harm to others, those who do need it, such as those suffering from depression or cancer patients, should be allowed to use it. Marijuana increases appetite and improves sleep. End quote. A number of people have demanded that NBC issue an apology for airing the controversial interview. I've sent out a request to Ms. Kim's representation for an interview on the Daily Audio Stash. I'm also hoping to use this to generate interest in a South Korea normal. Breaking into the Asian market is going to be very difficult because of strict anti-cannabis laws and social taboos, but if we can leverage Ms. Kim's statements, especially about the traditional Oriental uses of cannabis medicine, I believe we can do it. I'm still working with some Japanese activists to form a Japan normal, and a whole pack of Aussies looking to form normal down under. With luck, we'll have three or more outposts in the Pacific Rim by year's end. Dr. Drew and Marijuana Addicts. Commentary by Radical Russ. Driving home last night, the radio was on a station I don't normally listen to, and the Dr. Drew show was on. He got a call from a young man, age 23, about to graduate college and become a teacher. The man admits to smoking marijuana daily since about age 16. He wants to know how long he needs to stop smoking pot in order to pass his drug test to become a teacher. Dr. Drew tells him 2 months, tells him he's a marijuana addict, responds that there is no such thing as psychological addiction, says every marijuana addict he treats in California has their medical marijuana card. Well, duh, who wants to be arrested? Tells the young man that marijuana addiction has put him in denial and led to drug motivational thinking because the young man admitted he only wanted to know how long to stop smoking so he could pass and then start smoking again after he became a teacher. The problem I have with the Dr. Drew show I heard is this reflexive labeling of someone who uses marijuana daily as an addict. This young man sounds like he's doing okay. He's graduating college at age 23, just about right on time. He's becoming a teacher. If he was drinking a beer every day, would he be an alcoholic? Would his promise to drink beer after he became a teacher be an example of alcoholic motivational thinking? The only problem he has is the illegality of marijuana and the idiocy of collecting people's urine to judge their fitness for teaching children. Some people do have an unhealthy relationship with cannabis. According to NIDA, about 9% of users can develop marijuana dependence. All I ask is that Dr. Drew make it clear that 91% of us are not dependent. We just like to use cannabis. Like Hunter S. Thompson said, it's like beer, ice, and grapefruit. You could live your life without it, but why? To be fair, Dr. Drew also says that if you want to smoke pot, go ahead. He doesn't want to stop anyone. But if you want to stop and want help, he can help you. For a hefty fee, of course, though I think he failed to mention that. I think he's probably not in favor of arresting and imprisoning pot smokers. Maybe sentencing them to treatment, but not imprisoning them. But when all you've got is a hammer, every problem looks like a nail. He's a drug counselor who sees only the most desperately addicted day after day, so every pot smoker looks like a future client to him. He also mentioned Marijuana Anonymous. Now, I know my 12 steps, 12 traditions, 13 articles of faith. Oh, whoops, wrong religion. My father was an alcoholic and a speed addict who then went through recovery, AA, NA, and then got a BSW and became a drug and alcohol counselor when I was a teenager. I can spout Stuart Smalley-isms with the best of them. I know many people whose lives were saved by that program, but it was never for me. It's way too quasi-religious for my tastes. So as I read the 12 questions that Marijuana Anonymous asks regarding marijuana use in an effort to help you understand if you're an addict, I can't help but notice how many of the questions merely observe an effect of marijuana prohibition rather than any particular problem with marijuana use. For example, question number 4. Do you find that your friends are determined by your marijuana use? Well, yes, because outlaws tend to hang out with outlaws. I'd love to have more friends that don't smoke marijuana, but they tend to be afraid of visiting a home where police may burst in at any moment to arrest criminals. Question number 7 asks, does your marijuana use let you live in a privately defined world? Well, Sure. It's not often that people who are breaking the law like to make that world public. Question number 9. When your stash is nearly empty, do you feel anxious or worried about how to get more? Well, yes, because I can't buy it at a store like a six-pack or a cigar. Number 11. Do you plan your life around your marijuana use? You mean like avoiding national parks, non-medical marijuana states, and states with per se DUID laws while on vacation? Or like finding clandestine places to smoke marijuana? Then sure, I plan my life around marijuana use. I also notice how the questions are only scary if you begin with an assumption that regular marijuana use is problematic. If you ask me some of these 12 questions about my dog, I could give you yes answers. Now, does that mean I'm a Jack Russell Terrier addict? And, well, I am, but here's the questions. Number 1, has walking your dog stopped being fun? Well, yeah, but not always. Number 2, do you ever play with your dog alone? Sure, sometimes being alone with your dog or getting high alone is a nice way to relax. Number 3, is it hard for you to imagine a life without your dog? Impossible! And question number 6, do you play with your dog to cope with your feelings? Well, yeah, he's the best buddy to have on a down day, just like pot. Addiction is a powerful thing, and I just hate the way it's tossed about by pop psychologists like Dr. Drew and Marijuana Anonymous. Yes, there is a consistent theme among those who abuse anything. Pot, gambling, sex, shopping, internet, alcohol, heroin, and so on. But addiction should be reserved for those substances that alter the body's chemistry to the point where there is an undeniable physical need for the substance, and without it, severe complications can arise. Sorry, but if you force the pot smoker, gambler, shopper, or World of Warcraft player to go cold turkey, they do not risk death. But the alcohol, cocaine, meth, and heroin addicts may die. The former people may have a serious psychological dependence, but the latter people have a physical addiction. Maybe it's just me and my love of language. I feel calling people with marijuana dependence addicts cheapens and demeans the people who are truly physically addicted to serious drugs. Watching your father kick alcohol and speed cold turkey at age 11 will leave a lasting impression. Show me the marijuana addict puking, trembling, hallucinating, screaming, and crying from not having a joint for 3 weeks, and I'll buy the addict label, Dr. Drew.
Dear Mr. President, last November you were elected on a platform of change. You promised the country reform on the political system. Well, let me tell you what Normal.org and many other Americans want changed. Marijuana laws. It was estimated that America made its 20 millionth arrest for marijuana possession this year. You want a real economic problem? How about the amount of money being spent on simple possession arrests? Incarcerating people costs taxpayers around $23,000 per year, and Normal estimates that up to $10 billion a year are spent on enforcement for mostly nonviolent offenders. Now let's imagine what would happen if marijuana was legal. Not only would we save billions each year on enforcement, but imagine the economic boost. You would produce jobs growing, selling, and tax dollars coming in from the regulation of marijuana. I'm not saying let people loose to sell on the streets. Put government regulation into tax and control at sales like alcohol. Street dealers are the problem, not a guy with a gram in his pocket. Put in harsh punishments for people who drive under the influence, and stop punishing people who enjoy marijuana safely in their home. Mr. President, if you really want change, legalize marijuana.
The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your toker tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. All right, Stashers, after my absence yesterday, you get a twofer, a double shot of marijuana music here in our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com. This begins another fortnight of Marijuana Music Awards winners, this time from the American version of the awards. And we begin with Johnny Reefer Seed and the High Rollers, who won the main prize of Song of the Year with one of our Stash favorites, Brother, Can You Spare a Dime? 2009 American Marijuana Music Awards winners were announced last Saturday at the Chicago Peace Fest, and for those of you who couldn't make it, you can hear the winners being announced by such heavyweights as Eddie Lepp, Mark Emery, and Keith Straup on the 2009 AMMA Winners Show at timeforhemp.com. Today's song also won the award for Best Pop Song. So congratulations to Johnny Reefer Seed and the High Rollers for their double win this year, following their win with Best Funk in 2008. Keep updated about the award-winning band, Johnny Reefer Seed and the High Rollers, at myspace.com/JRSHighRollers. And registered stashers, you can get an MP3 download of this tune. It's Johnny Reefer Seed and the High Rollers with Brother, Can You Spare a Dime?
I ain't got no idea. 'cause I'm on a ride. Brother, can you spare a dime? Back to life, you saved my beer on, 'cause I'm about to kill someone.
Now for our second tune of the day, after winning Song of the Year in the 2009 Global MMA, Rich Hardesty has followed his success with winning Album of the Year in the 2009 American MMA with Ganja Plantation. The winning album is packed full of great MMA award-winning songs, including All My Friends Are Stoners, Steady High, and Totally Baked. Rich fuses folk, rock, reggae, and soul music, making a unique sound which is always in Rich's distinctive feel-good style. Congratulations to Rich Hardesty for winning 2009 Global MMA Song of the Year and 2009 American MMA Album of the Year. Check out the latest on Rich, his shows, and CDs at myspace.com/RichHardestyMusic. Enjoy the title track of the 2009 American MMA Album of the Year, Ganja Plantation.
Come on, everyone, to the ganja plantation. Come on, everyone, to the ganja plantation. And everybody knows, that's where we like to go. That's where we like to see. Everything is green. So come on, everyone, to the ganja plantation. Come on, everyone, to the ganja plantation. Everybody knows, that's where we like to go. That's where we like to sing. Everything is green. Everything is green. Come on, everyone, to the ganja plantation. Said, come on, everyone, to the ganja plantation. Singing, come on, everyone, to the ganja plantation. Singing, come on, everyone, to the ganja plantation. To the ganja plantation. To the ganja plantation.
Hello, this is Webb Hubble. Life insurance is now available for responsible marijuana smokers. For years, responsible marijuana smokers have not been able to access affordable life insurance products. Normal uniquely supports cannabis consumers. Two carriers have already agreed to offer all of their traditional life insurance products at all levels without excluding individuals who smoke marijuana responsibly. Help Normal and help yourself. If you've been declined for life insurance, are paying above market premiums, or simply want to know what now may be available in the way of insurance for marijuana smokers, contact me at info@mclaughlinonline.com. Or simply call me at 202-293-5566.
Tuesday is our look at your government at work here at the Audio Stash. While the inevitable re-legalization of cannabis hemp will have to happen at the federal level, the steps leading to that destination take place at the state and municipal levels. We focus in on the initiatives, bills, and amendments regarding cannabis across all 50 states, and what activists like you are doing to enact a positive reform to our cruel and outdated marijuana laws.
Body dies, the ego cries, the birds they sing, the creatures learn. It's an honest day's work, yeah, 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 yeah. It's an honest day's work.
If you're working hard to make an impact in your city and state, please email us at stash@normal.org. And let's share your local efforts with the worldwide cannabis community. Together, we can affect our government at work.
The afternoon pollution rises high into the sky. How can we still deny the truth?
Today on the Daily Audio Stash, we're very happy to have a former candidate for governor of New Jersey joining us. His name is Carl Bergmanson. And Carl, welcome to the Daily Audio Stash.
Thanks.
I had caught note of your campaign because of one of your platform planks that you had put out, and it's not often I see people running for governor that come out in favor of marijuana law reform, but you certainly did. Unfortunately, the primary didn't go your way on June 2nd, and I guess Governor Corzine won that primary, is that right?
Yes, we got, we were facing a tremendously uphill battle. Governor Corzine is very rich and spent more than $3 million to get the 148,000 votes that he got just running against me. And he's planning on spending another $50 million or so to try and win re-election. On the other hand, I'm just a regular working guy. In fact, I got laid off in January, so that made it even more challenging.
Mm.
But we fought a good fight, and we got a chance to talk about some important issues, and one of them is marijuana reform.
Well, what is it that you'd like to see with regard to our marijuana policies in the state of New Jersey or federally?
Well, I think we need to – I come at it from a different view than some folks, Russ. I don't view it as a marijuana issue or a drug issue. I view it as a liberty issue. It just doesn't make sense for the government to be telling the citizens what they should and should not do when it does not, when we talk about things that don't endanger the public health. And that's exactly what you have in a situation like marijuana. We spend billions of dollars trying to enforce this prohibition, and that's what it is. It's a term you guys use, and I think it's the right term to use. It's a complete waste of resources that we could be using dealing with much more important issues. And frankly, if you look at it, I think the last three presidents have all admitted that they smoked marijuana. So it's just hypocritical, if nothing else.
Yeah. Now, this isn't something, like I said, it's not something that we're used to hearing from politicians. And what kind of reaction did you get from this policy plank, both from, I guess, the media and the people?
Well, Russ, unfortunately, I got little reaction from any of the media about anything that we did because they were so, convinced that Governor Corzine was, unbeatable. And in fact, one of the reasons I ran is because everyone else said they couldn't beat him and no one else was willing to do it. I really didn't envision myself running for governor, but I felt that someone needed to do it. He's done a really bad job.
Hmm.
The reactions were pretty positive. I really didn't get that many negative reactions. I was concerned because I'm a former public safety commissioner in my town, so I was concerned I might get some blowback from that, but I didn't really get any. And, I think a lot of people are starting to become aware of the fact that not only is this costing us a lot of money, but it's ruining people's lives for no reason. And, it's just not good.
Was there any personal reasons that made you want to get involved with this particular issue from knowing someone who had a issue with marijuana and their life was ruined or anything
that? In fact, I know you never asked, but I'll tell you, I've never smoked marijuana. I'm not a believer in that sort of thing personally. So it's not about me. It's not about my family. There's no one in my family who's had any run-ins with the law about marijuana. There's no one I know really had any serious run-ins with the law. But you see it on a regular basis if you follow the news. And one of the other really disturbing things about it is the varying levels of enforcement where you'll see people being put away for years and then other people getting a slap on the wrist. It's the inequity is really obvious. And as a former mayor, I know just how expensive it is to do those kind of things. And as a former police commissioner, I know how much money it costs to spend money to have police officers working on stuff that isn't really related to public safety.
Hmm. You mentioned your time as a mayor and a police and involved with the police. Where was this? What was your time in public service?
I was mayor of Glen Ridge for 4 years, and before that, I was a councilman for 9 years. Glen Ridge is still where I live, I was a police commissioner. The way the form of government that Glen Ridge has is one of the council people serves as police commissioner or public safety commissioner while they are a council person, and I was appointed to that post for about 4.5 years.
Hmm.
Police are one of the biggest expenses that a local town has, at least here in New Jersey. And while I love our police officers and I think they do a great job, I really think it's a waste of time and effort having them go after something that really doesn't negatively impact public safety.
Hmm. So it sounds like you've got a lot of background on the municipal level, dealing with politicians, dealing with people involved in the police. So as you look out to those different people, what do you feel is their stance on these drug issues? Are they just going with the status quo, or do they really believe some of these scare tactics about marijuana and marijuana users?
Well, you have the full gamut. I think there are some people who, still believe Reaper Madness, and they're concerned about that marijuana use from that standpoint. I think there are some people who just don't like to admit when they were wrong, and aren't willing to confront the reality that we've really made a mistake here, and we need to move forward. But I think as time, I'm noticing a somewhat of a generational change as the public becomes, I think, more friendly to the idea of reducing the penalties for marijuana use, and also looking at some of the benefits for medicinal use. I think you're starting to see a change. I think also a lot of politicians are kind of cowardly. And, they're rather than being leaders, they're kind of like sheep, and they try and figure out which way the crowd is going to go and go with that crowd, but look like they're out in front of them. So I think as the public starts to move more and more towards reducing these criminal penalties and decriminalization and perhaps even legalization, I think you're going to see more and more politicians becoming brave all of a sudden. And they become brave when they figure it's in their best interest.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not knocking all politicians. Some politicians have been out in front of this for a long time, and some politicians stand for what they believe in. A lot of them don't get elected. But that's always been the problem is the people who do it that way, who pretend to be leaders but really sheep, they're the ones who tend to get elected. So you really have to push this from the public standpoint. As the public perception of marijuana use changes, and as the public perception of our laws change, that's when you'll start to see a political change. We like to think that our political leaders are in fact leaders, but for the most part they aren't.
Hmm. You've reminded me of an old poster that once said, "Who are they? Where did they go? I have to find them. I'm their leader."
Right, exactly. That's exactly right. And it's really a sad state of affairs, but and a big part, I'm not to get off the topic, but I will just a little bit, a big part of my campaign was about the fact that we really don't have a democracy anymore, at least here in New Jersey. Special interests and the money has really taken over, and that's part of it too. There's nobody out there lobbying and spending money for marijuana reform, and that's what drives change in our system, at least in New Jersey. It's all about money. It's all about campaign contributions, unless you're a rich guy like Corzine, in which case it's all about your campaign contributions to yourself.
Yeah, really. So what are your future plans? Do you have any other future plans for running for office or serving the public?
Well, like I said, the reason I ran in the first place is because I just felt that it needed to be done. I don't really have any plans for seeking office in the future. I mean, obviously, 4 years from now, there'll be another governor's election. We'll see how that goes. That's a long time from now. But in the meantime, I'm just going to keep speaking out for personal liberty and for restoring democracy, which was like the two hallmarks of my campaign. And then, of course, fiscal responsibility, which really is part of that same whole picture. It all ties together as far as I'm concerned. Fiscal responsibility is what helps us maintain liberty and what preserves democracy. But, you know, I'll be speaking out as a private citizen, which is what every private citizen should be doing. And you know, I would say that to people who are listening. Each of you is a private citizen. Each of you has an opportunity, and in fact has many opportunities through the course of a month, to speak to people, speak out about this issue. This is a civil rights issue. And if enough of us start to speak out and say, what we're doing now doesn't make sense and it's hurting people, eventually people will listen.
Mm. No better words have been spoken. I completely agree with you, Carl, and I appreciate you putting it that way. Especially appreciate you running for governor in the state of New Jersey against what I guess most people would have said were, you know, impossible odds.
Oh, yeah, impossible odds. They were saying, I like one reporter said to an analyst, I said Bergmanson has 1,000-to-1 odds, and the analyst, who's someone I know, said, I think you're being generous. So you know, it's very, very hard. It's all about, unfortunately now, especially in New Jersey, it's all about the money. And, you know, that's not democracy. I don't know, I call it a kleptocracy,
yeah,
which is, you know, how much can you steal and how fast can you steal it. But it's certainly not a democracy. But this is, you know, this whole thing with marijuana prohibition is part of that. The government is not supposed to tell us what to do. We are supposed to tell the government what to do. That's the whole basis of our country.
Absolutely right. Well, Carl Bergmanson, a former mayor and police commissioner, as well as gubernatorial candidate in the state of New Jersey, we thank you so much for standing up for our rights, and we appreciate you coming on the Daily Audio Stash. And keep in touch with us. Let us know what happens in your future.
We'll do, Russ. And I'll include you if I put any press releases out. I'll make sure you get a copy.
All right. Thanks a lot, Carl.
Thank you.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with a reminder to check out NORML.org for information on the 2009 Normal National Conference. It's in San Francisco, California at the Grand Hyatt Hotel. It's going to be a great conference. Thursday is dedicated to medical cannabis businesses, featuring speakers from Oaksterdam University. And then Friday and Saturday are our regular plenary panels on everything you ever want to know about marijuana activism, marijuana science, and marijuana law reform. It'll be the best money you've ever spent on your activism, and the contacts you will make and the networking you'll do at this event cannot be underestimated. It is without a doubt I would not be here hosting the Daily Audio Stash if it weren't for attending Normal conferences. You can also check out information on the conference at stash.normal.org/tag/normal-con. So check it out. And I hope to see you there. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.